Morning, everyone.
Morning, Gene.
The reading this morning from the 43rd chapter of Genesis, starting at verse 15 to the end of the chapter. Now, this is sort of just as the group of brothers is going back down to see Joseph, and they are going through a famine and don't have anything to eat, so they're going back down to Egypt and trying to get some more food. So the brothers are about ready to go, and the men took this present, and they took double the money in their hand, and Benjamin. Then they rose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to his house steward, "Bring the men into the house and slay an animal and make ready, for the men are to dine with me at noon." So the man did as Joseph said and brought the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were afraid because they were brought to Joseph's house, and they said, "It is because of the money that was returned in our sacks the first time that we are being brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for slaves with our donkeys." So they came near to Joseph's house steward and spoke to him at the entrance of the house and said, "Oh, my Lord, we indeed came down the very first time to buy food. And it came about when we came to our lodging place that we opened our sacks, and behold, each man's money was in the mouth of the sack, our money in full. So we have brought it back in our hand. And we have also brought down another money in our hand to buy food. We do not know who put our money in our sacks." And he said, "Be at ase, do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money." Then he brought Simon out to them. Then the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their donkeys fodder. So they prepared the present for Joseph's coming at noon, for they had heard that they were to eat a meal there. When Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present, which was in their hand, and bowed to the ground before him. Then he asked them about their welfare and said, "Is your old father well, of whom you spoke? Is he still alive?" And they said, "Your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive." And they bowed down in homage. As he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, he said, "Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "May God be gracious to you, my son." And Joseph hurried out, for he was deeply stirred over his brother, and he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber and wept there. Then he washed his face and came out, and he controlled himself and said, "Serve the meal." So they served him by himself, and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is loathsome to the Egyptians. Now they were seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men looked at one another in astonishment. And he took portions to them from his own table, but Benjamin's portion was five times as much as any of theirs. So they feasted and drank freely with him. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Gene. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for its truth. And Lord, I pray that as we open your word again this morning, that we would see you in your word. We would hear anew and afresh from you, as we thank you for that amazing grace that you bestow upon us freely, that we don't deserve, but yet you pour out upon us. So Lord, quiet our hearts before you this morning, that we may be refreshed and nourished from your word today, through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. In the 1700s, there was a young boy who grew up in a Christian home. His mother had taught him well what it meant to follow the Lord and to follow and to love him. But this boy had a rebellious streak. He didn't really want to have anything to do with the Lord. His mother had passed away, and he extremely got rebellious and rejected anything to do with her teaching or anything about the Lord. His father, who tried to raise him as his own, had a hard time controlling him, so he thought, I'm going to send him away to the Navy. I bet if I send him away to the Navy, they can teach him some discipline, and maybe he'll learn. So I sent him to the Navy, and he deserted, and he ran away. He ended up in Africa, and there he was enslaved in Africa, and he began to work for the people who had enslaved him, and got caught up in the slave trade industry in the 1700s. He worked himself up, and he became the captain of a slaving vessel. And one of the times going across the sea from Africa to America, bringing a load of slaves across to the America, his boat got caught in a violent storm. So much was the storm that he was afraid he was going to die. And he cried out to the Lord in mercy, his teaching that his mother had taught him with, and the scripture says, raise a child when he's young, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And the teaching that his mother had taught him came back. And he cast himself on the grace of the Lord, and he called out to the Lord for mercy. And his life was changed that moment and transformed in that instant. So God was his life changed, he wrote a song, a poem about that transformation called Amazing Grace. How great the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Of course, you know the name of that man was John Newton. And he left, when that salvation experience came, he left the slaving industry and he became a pastor. And God called him to ministry and his life was changed. And he continued on his ministry. And one of the members in his church was a man by the name of William Wilberforce. William Wilberforce became Prime Minister of England. And under the influence of John Newton's teaching and preaching, he became influential in ending the slave trade in all the British colonies and British Empire at that time of the world. But the transformation of the amazing grace and the difference that God makes, and that song Amazing Grace has continued to bless thousands of thousands down through the years. Of his testimony of conversion through Christ. Today we pick up the story of Joseph again. And we have been following his story through these weeks. We took a break for Christmas and New Year's. But now we come back into a story. And when we left the story, we had left the brothers in Canaan. And the famine was continuing to increase. And they had been to Egypt once, if you remember. And they had encountered Joseph there. And they had bowed before him. And that dream had come through, the truth that Joseph had seen as a boy, that his brothers would bow before him. And Joseph was kind to them. And he returned, filled their sacks with grain and put the money back in it and sent them back. But he had kept Simeon. Remember, he was testing them and accused them of being spies. And he had kept Simeon in prison until they brought Benjamin back. He wanted them to bring Benjamin back because he wanted to see his younger brother, the only full brother he had of his mother, Rachel. And he wanted to see if they were kind to Benjamin or if they were treating Benjamin like they had treated him. So they go back to Jacob and they tell Jacob what had happened. The famine's continuing to increase. And Jacob says, well, you got to go back to Egypt again and buy more food. Joseph says, we can't unless Benjamin goes with us. And they said, I'm not allowing Benjamin to go. If something happens to him, I'll never get over it. I'll go to the grave in misery. I already lost Joseph. I can't stand to lose Benjamin. And so he said, I'm not going to send him. Well, the famine continued to increase. So now it was getting desperate, and Jacob said, you got to go back and buy more food. And they said, we can't unless you take Benjamin with us. So Jacob finally consented. So that's where we pick up the story. They now arrive back into Egypt on the second journey. They brought money to repay the silver that was there plus money to buy more gold, and they brought Benjamin with them. And they come into the presence of Joseph, and Joseph sees and receives them. The brothers coming and trembling with fear, not knowing what was going to happen and how Joseph was going to treat them. Remember, at this point, they still did not know it was Joseph. They still thought it was a powerful man of Egypt, and they didn't know it was their brother. And Benjamin was before them. But instead of harshness, Joseph was going to continue to show grace. And this morning, as we look at this part of the story, we're going to discover three reasons why God's grace is so amazing. We see it, his grace illustrated through the life of Joseph, and Joseph is a picture of God's grace being demonstrated for you and me. First reason of why grace is amazing is because grace reassures our hearts. It gives us reassurance. When the brothers came to him, notice what it says in verse 17 and 18. The men did as Joseph told him, and they went and took him into the house. And it says, verse 18, the men were, what's it say? Frightened. They were frightened when they came before Joseph, especially when they heard, when Joseph saw them coming, he gave orders to his steward, take them to my house. Now, they didn't know what was going to happen to him there. They thought, boy, he's taken us to the house. He must have found out that we took that money. We're in trouble now. He's going to take us as a slave. He's going to take our property. And they were afraid. And they were trembling with fear when they came before Joseph. But in amazing grace, John Newton, when he met the Lord, said, grace has taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Because even though they had come before Joseph in fear, Joseph was responding with kindness and grace and took their fear away. And aren't you thankful that's how the Lord is with us? That we don't have to fear coming before him. We don't have to tremble in his presence. Is he going to cast us aside? Is he going to bring up, is he going to reject us? What's he going to do? Is he going to treat us harshly? No, God gives us grace, and we can come before him. We don't have to be fearful in his presence, because he accepts us. Isn't that thankful? And so it calms, it reassures our hearts, because he meets us with grace instead of judgment, instead of condemnation. He shows grace. Grace reassures our hearts because he knows us, all about us, and he loves us anyway. Now remember, when the brothers came before Joseph, he knew everything about them because he knew them. They didn't know who he was. And verse 28, when he saw Benjamin, he asked them, is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about? And he said, God be gracious to you. He said, is your father still alive? He was asking them questions about them, but he knew. But we see something different here, something interesting that we can read over and miss. But in verse 33, he brings them into their house. He has a table, sets them at the table before them. But it says the men had been seated before him in order of their ages of their birth, from the firstborn to the youngest. When he sits them at a table, he has them arranged in the order of their birth. Now imagine this. They're before Joseph, they're in fear. They're taken to his house, and he has them sitting in the order of how they were born. It says they were astonished. Would you begin to wonder, how does this guy know all this about us? How does he know this about me? And that would make them feel a little bit uneasy, do you think? But that's grace, is God knows everything about us, and he loves us anyway. Joseph knew everything about his brothers. He knew how they had treated him. He knew all about how they were, but yet he loved them anyway. That's grace. That's what God does for us. That's what's amazing, isn't it? He knows everything about you, the good, the bad, the ugly. And he loves you, warts and all. No matter what we've done, no matter who we are. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. says this, but God demonstrates or proves or shows his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ what? Died for us. Not till we cleaned up our act, but we were still sinners and we were still in our worst. And verse 20 says, the law was added so that the trespass may increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Because God's grace is greater than our sin. Praise God. And so it reassures our hearts that he knows the worst about us. He knows the best about us. He knows everything about you and me. And he loves us anyway. God is gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love and mercy. That's the wonderful God we have. That's why grace reassures our hearts. It also reassures our hearts because he does not treat us as we deserve. Joseph, when the brothers came before him, he didn't treat them as they deserved. Man, he could have, when he saw them coming before them, he said, boy, I can throw the book at these guys now. I can make them pay. After all what they did to me, they sold me as a slave. They threw me in the pit. They were going to leave me for dead. They told my dad I was killed. And man, I'm going to make these guys pay now. But that's not what he did. He didn't treat them as they deserved. But instead, he showed them kindness. He took them into his home. He was going to share a meal with them, a time of fellowship. He restored the silver. In fact, he told the steward, replace the silver, give them more. And he continued to show them kindness. He did not treat them the way they had treated him. And that's what grace is. Grace does not treat others the way we're treated, but treats others in a way they don't deserve. Aren't you thankful that God didn't treat you the way you deserve? And he calls us to show that same kind of grace to others. To be willing to forgive others when we don't want to, but to extend grace, because that's what God does. Grace reassures our hearts. That's what's amazing. Second reason that grace is amazing is because grace releases God's blessings. God bestows his blessings upon you and me through grace. The Bible calls them grace gifts. And through grace, he showers you and me with blessings that we don't deserve. Verses 31 to 34 tells us that Joseph took them into his house. He returned the silver and then took him into his house and had a meal with them. And grace bestows upon us. It gives us the blessings of his presence. Because of grace, we are welcome into the presence of the Lord. And that Joseph took them into his house. And the presence that they were taken into his home. And that was how he showed them the blessings of his presence, that they were able to dine with him. God, through his grace, takes us into his presence and is going to take us into his home. Won't that be amazing? And he welcomes us into his presence and showers that blessing upon us and the presence of being with him and his presence with you and me because of grace. We don't deserve it. And Joseph demonstrated that by taking them into his home, inviting them into his presence where they can enjoy those blessings. He also provides for us through grace the blessing of his provision, that he provides for us. He not only returned their silver, but notice what it says in verse 34. Don't miss this. This is a key. Verse 34, it says, when portions were served to them at the meal, where did it come from? Joseph's table. He provided for them from his table. Right directly to them through provision. He fed them. They were fed from his table. And friends, out of God's grace and provision for you, he feeds us and provides for us from his table in heaven, his presence, his abundance that is overflowing, that he freely bestows upon us in grace, that there is no limit to and can't be contained. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul was writing to the church there and starts this letter to the church by sharing with them this wonderful blessings that God has bestowed upon them as believers in Christ. And those same blessings have been bestowed upon you and I through Jesus. And it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." He has bestowed that upon us from him, from his presence, from his provision in heaven that can't be exhausted for us. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul writing this letter of thank you to the church, thanking them for caring for him and sending them provision. But we knew that he knew it was the Lord through them. But that scripture says, "My God shall supply," what's it say? "All your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Not some of your need, but all of your need. Because he feeds you, he provides for you from his table in heaven, which cannot be exhausted. His riches come in abundant supply that can never be exhausted, can never be drained, will never run out. And were extended and poured and extended to us freely out of grace. Because he loves you. We don't deserve it. But he feeds us from his table. He takes us into his home. The blessing of his presence. The blessing of his provision. But we also have through grace the blessings of his peace. Because notice what the last verse says. In verse 34, the end of it. It says, "They ate and drank freely with him." Now remember, when they went in to his presence and when they had seen him, they were overcome with fear. But here, because of grace extended to them, they ate and drank freely. That fear was taken away, and they had peace because they had seen through Joseph kindness. They had seen through Joseph grace. They had seen through Joseph blessing. And that's how the Lord receives us. And that's what's so amazing about grace. And we have peace in his presence to know that we can freely come before him through Jesus. That all is well. "It is well with my soul," we can sing. And know that he will not cast us aside, but we can freely come into his presence. We can freely fellowship with him. Peace with God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? That's what's so amazing about grace. It reassures our hearts. It releases God's blessing of presence, peace, and provision. And third, grace restores our relationships. When relationships are damaged and broken, it's grace that brings those back together. The brothers' relationship had been broken, and separation came because of the sin that had been committed against Joseph. And now, because of grace that Joseph was extending to them, that relationship was getting to be restored. Whenever he saw Benjamin, and he said, when he saw him, he wept, and he was moved, and his grace and his compassion and his love to be restored and reunited with his family. He brought the brothers into his presence and sat with them, fellowship around his table, and enjoyed that time of fellowship with them and restoring, seeking to restore. God, when he created you and I and created mankind, he put us in that relationship with him. But sin came into the garden and sin broke that relationship, and sin broke in it. But God, through his grace, reached down to you and me through Jesus, and he gave his life on the cross and died and rose again to restore that brokenness, to bring that relationship back together again. That's what God does through his amazing grace. Grace restores relationships because it leads us to repentance. As the brothers here were being showed kindness, as they were taken into his home, they were fearful. They said, "He's going to make us slaves. He's going to take our donkeys. He's going to take what we have." And then Whenever he puts them in their birth order, they were astonished. And then even more, Joseph here is kind of playing with them a little bit to turn up the heat, to bring them to repentance. He feeds Benjamin 5 times more than everybody else. Benjamin was the youngest. It's the older one. Reuben should have had the most. But he was given Benjamin, his real brother, 5 times more than the rest from his table. And you can kind of see Joseph here just kind of, you know, playing with them a little bit. Is this remind what they did to me? But he wanted to bring them to that point of repentance. And that's what grace does. And that God in his grace does that, shows kindness to us to bring us to that point where we will repent and acknowledge and where they will be restored again. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says this, writing to the church. Chapter 2, verse 4, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward what? Repentance. He said, don't show contempt for God's kindness, tolerance, and patience, because his kindness is extended to us to bring us to the point of repentance. And that's what Joseph was doing to his brothers, and that's what grace does. God easily could give us what we deserve, but he gives us grace, hoping that we will repent because he's long-suffering with us. And he shows us that grace so that we will come to that place. During the Korean War, a South Korean Christian man was arrested by the communists, and he was ordered to be shot. But when the young communist leader learned that the man was in charge of an orphanage, he decided to spare him and kill his son instead. So they took the man's 19-year-old son and shot him right in front of the man as he watched in horror. Imagine watching your 19-year-old son shot before you. Later, the same young communist leader was captured by the UN forces. He was tried and he was condemned to death for war crimes. But before the sentence could be carried out, the Christian whose son this man had killed came and pled for his life. He argued that this communist was young and he really didn't know what he was doing. He was doing what he was told. The Christian said, "Give him to me and I will train him." They granted the request and he took the father of the murderer who killed his own son, into his home, and he cared for him. Today, that man who was shown this unusual kindness is a Christian pastor. Grace led him to repentance. That's what was the case of Joseph and their brothers, and that's how it is with God with us. And he shows us kindness and grace. It's to bring us to that point where we say, "Lord, I acknowledge I was wrong against you, and I make it right." Brings us to repentance, and because it brings us into fellowship. It restores relationships, bringing us into fellowship with him. And through the grace that Joseph extended to them, it brought the brothers into fellowship with him. And grace brings us into fellowship with our Lord. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul, writing to the church, said this, chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions, for it is by grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Dropping down to verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to Christ, to God through the cross, by which he put to death their humility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and preached to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. To the grace of God, we have been brought into relationship with him. When we were once hostile to God, but he, through grace, has saved us and made us part of his family. Amen? Bringing us into relationship with him. And one last scripture, Colossians chapter 3. Because of God's grace shown to us in restoring us, we need to show that same grace to others. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14 says this in closing. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. And forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's what grace is. That's what grace does. Joseph illustrated that. He forgave as the Lord forgave him. And over everything else, put on love, kindness, and grace. Extended it to his brothers who didn't deserve it, but he had bestowed it upon them freely to bring them back into relationship with him. Amazing grace. How great the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. Lord, your grace that reassures our hearts that you won't cast us aside. You won't reject us. We don't have to be tremble or fearful in your presence, but we can come before you because you are gracious to us. And we thank you, Lord, that even though you know all about us, you love us anyway. And you don't treat us as we deserve, but you show mercy and grace and kindness to us. And we are so thankful for that amazing grace. Father, we thank you that your grace releases blessings of your presence, that we are welcome into your presence, into your home. Lord, that you provide for us from your table, from your resources in heaven that can't be exhausted. And you pour those and lavish them upon us in your grace. And Lord, through your grace, you bring us the blessings of peace, that we can come freely before you. We don't have to fear, but we can come freely into your presence and have that intimate fellowship with you. And we thank you for your grace that restores our relationship. Then we have sinned against you. In grace, you have sent your Son. And you have paid the price, and you restored and redeemed. And your grace was extended to us to bring us to that point of repentance. Lord, help us to extend grace to others who have wronged us. Those, Lord, who have sinned against us, help us to forgive them in the way that you have forgiven us. And Lord, those relationships in our life that may be hurt or may be broken, Lord, may it be us within this room and who love you to be the ones who extend the grace to them, that those people would make the first move. That we extend grace to them, that would move in their hearts to bring them to that relationship to be restored again and that it's been broken. But we thank you that you are a God of grace who restores, who redeems, who blesses. So thank you for your amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. and every one of us in this room. For we were lost, and now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. And your grace has taught our hearts to fear you. But your grace has also relieved our fears to know that we have peace. How precious did that grace appear in our life the hour we first believed. So thank you, Lord, for that amazing grace, and that you are a God of grace and mercy. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.